There's no name that breaks chains like the name of Jesus. There's no name that frees captives like the name of Jesus. Church, just take a moment to tell Jesus how important his name is to you. Speak Jesus over those things in your life that you need victory over today. Jesus, there's no name but your name. No name higher than your name.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Spending a moment with Jesus this morning, church. Hallelujah, Lord.
We love you.
You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah 43:19. And many of us have read it. Many of you have read it probably many times. But there's one word there that I think a lot of times we overlook. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:19, "Do not be discouraged and do not be afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, will go in front of you, before you." And if we read that and we stop right there, we say that's powerful. But it really says, "I will go before you personally." Boy, does that make a difference. Just, I love you so much, I'm going to go in front of you personally. That means to pave the way, to open up the path. And it says, don't be afraid because I will not abandon you. I'm not going to abandon you no matter what the situation is. And, you know, I just want us to settle in today, church, and just think the word personally. That is the God you serve today. That is the God we serve. And sometimes we don't feel like we see it or know it's, you know, it's just human nature. But I go before you personally. As Pastor Nicole just mentioned, to speak the name of Jesus today and say, I know you go personally before me. In that financial struggle, I know you go personally before me. The situation I'm dealing with my education, I just know you're going ahead of me personally. My marriage, relationships, I just know. My job, I just know you're going ahead of me. And as soon as we settle in and say, I know he's going ahead of me personally, when you finally catch up to where that point is, he's still ahead of you personally. That's the path we serve. That's the God we serve. That's the Savior we love. Let's bow our hearts today. Father God, I thank you that you go ahead of me personally. Lord God, what path would I know? Where would I go? Lord God, the scripture teaches me that you will go personally. You will blaze a trail in front of me. Like you did for the Israelites, Lord God, you will blaze a path. And you're always going personally in front of me. Lord God, I pray for those today that are wandering with some illness or sickness, disease, situation, Father. They want to know that they know that they know, Lord. And we hold on to that, but Lord God, I just pray today that this is a transforming day, that you will transform us from this thought process to this reality that we just know that we know that we know. God, transform us today to be transformers. Let our lives be transformed by your word and your spirit so we can go throughout the community and transform others. Father, I pray that today is a transformation day. Cross Point Church. For those watching online today, Lord, I pray that this is a transformation in their lives today. That they'll look back at this date, the last day, the last Sunday in February, and they will remember that something happened. And they'll leave today, and they'll shut off their device, Father, and I pray that they will remember the word personally. That you get personally involved in our lives. You will not leave us nor forsake us. You will never abandon us, Lord God. Thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God. Pour out your power today, Lord God, on Cross Point Church. Those watching online, give us a great day in your house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody today and say, I know him personally. I know him personally. Thank you. Thank you, Rev. Thank you. Good morning, Cross Point Church. What a great day. You wake up this morning, you see it's over 30 degrees, you know it's going to be wonderful, right? For those in the house or those online that do not know, I am Pastor Brad Myers, lead pastor of Cross Point Church. I just want to give you a personal welcome today. Thank you so much for coming into the house or joining us online. There are so many people online today. We are so blessed as a church. I read something the other day that really warmed my heart. It said, very shortly, we get to do this thing where we move the clocks ahead, right? Yeah. I don't even know why we do it anymore, but guess what? We get to do it, and that always tells me every single year when I first read that, that there's something that's going to happen, and I love spring is springing, right? Spring's coming, right? I actually saw temperatures this week going to be, what, pushing 50? Yeah, take that, Florida. Yep. Take that. Welcome on the Facebook side, the online campus at seapoint.church. Thank you for listening on the podcast this week. If that is you, we thank you so much for joining us today. YouTube lights up quite a bit now with quite a few people. We thank you for that. Boy, it's just good to be in God's house today. We had a great time yesterday morning. Pastor Mike led us at the Men of Impact breakfast yesterday morning. I got a little nervous. Got a little nervous, you know. You know, you come into the foyer and there's this monumentally big griddle and there's bacon frying and sausage frying and, you know, you could smell it in the church. If you smelled some funny smell when you walked in today, that's the remnants of the bacon and the sausage, right? But all of a sudden, I looked and I saw this cloud of haze throughout the foyer and it continued to get thicker and thicker. And I thought, uh-oh, this church does have a fire alarm. And Rev Greaves came up to me, our drummer, and said, Pastor, you know, that could set off the fire alarm. And Justin, who was doing our cooking yesterday with James White, and they were working it. They moved that griddle outside. It was cold. It was cold outside, but they continued to grill. I just want to thank you, gentlemen, for doing that. Thank you, Pastor Mike. And the food was great. If you missed it yesterday, I would challenge you not to miss it again. It was really, really powerful. It was a good day in God's house. And we got to eat pancakes even, and sausage and bacon and bagels. There was so much food here, I didn't know what to do, right? I had too much of a selection, right? Hey, church, we are completing the series today called Second Hand Faith. I trust that you've been listening and watching, that we're teaching you that secondhand faith cannot sustain you. You can't live on secondhand faith. You want to have a personal, firsthand experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we live a life, and I've known people that live a life on secondhand faith. They're living on somebody else. So let me go through a few little reviews just to catch you up if you've not been able to attend or watch. The first week we talked about knowledge over experience. It's nice to know Jesus, but I want to experience a firsthand Jesus Christ in my life, right? We taught you what faith is. It's confidence and trust without a lot of physical proof, really no physical proof. We live by faith every day. I taught you, we go to pharmacies and food, and we do all these things, but we just trust that somebody else is going to take care or do something, right? I trust that my wife does laundry. She does. I'm not sure why, right? Because, you know, I get to come to church, right? She said yesterday, walking through the family room, you know, she said, laundry's done. Wow, I really didn't really think about it because she always does it. Maybe I should do it this coming weekend, right? Yeah, I mean, yes, yes. Yes, I think I make more laundry than she does, right? But many struggle with this faith thing, especially when it comes to God. We struggle. We will believe and have faith in everything else, but we struggle when it comes to having faith in God. We asked the question at the beginning, I've repeated it every single Sunday for the last few weeks. It says, is your perception of God from secondhand knowledge of what people say or a personal firsthand experience? What does that mean? That means, is our faith what we hear or what we know? That is the core of the series. Is our faith what we hear or what we know? The second week we talked about inherited or borrowed or imitated faith. I don't want to live on inherited faith. My mom was very, very woman of faith, and I don't want to live on that. I lived on that as a youngster, but at some point I needed a personal firsthand experience, right? I needed to do that on my own. I did that. I didn't want to live on that inheritance of her faith. I didn't want to live on borrowed faith. I didn't want to look at somebody else and say, I can borrow what you have, I can use. I didn't want to live on imitated faith either. I'll just imitate what they do, and I'll take it as my own, and I'll live on that. We gave you stories for all that. We don't want to live on that. That's all very, very dangerous. We moved into last week, echoes to transformation, transformed or changed, we talked about, right? The echo is that reverberation of the secondhand faith that shows up. And we use the story of Eli and Samuel, right? Eli is mentoring Samuel, young Samuel, who is brought into the tabernacle, and he's going to start to be mentored by Eli, and Eli is teaching this young boy. And what a powerful story. And Samuel thinks he's hearing God's voice. Pardon me, he thinks he's hearing Eli's voice, but it's really God. And so he goes rushing right to Eli saying, hey, what do you need? What do you need? I didn't call you. And he would do it again. I didn't call you. He'd do it again. I didn't call you. And then Eli started to figure out, wait, that's God calling him. So he gave him some instruction to activate that personal firsthand experience. It says in 1 Samuel 3:9, it says, listen, the next time you hear this, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Say that. It's like, speak, your servant is listening. Speak is an activation, right? We talked to you that. It's an activation of your posture. I am ready. I'm ready to hear something. And then servant is your commitment to transform and change. I'm going to make a transformation. I'm going to make a change. And that brings you up to speed. So today we're going to conclude the series on transformation transforms. Transformation transforms. You living a transformed life transforms other people. They don't have to live on secondhand faith. Because we're called to make an impact and transform. Let me give you a quick little story. Now, many of you, and maybe to this day, remember the Transformers. Toys. Anybody? Yes, yeah, see? I bet you some of you have those at home. I bet you some of you, Justin in the sound booth is waving, yeah, see? I bet you some of you still play with those toys. Now raise your hand, right? Justin in the sound booth is raising his hand. I still play. It's his birthday today, and he probably got a transformer for his birthday, right? Yeah. What a story. The concept was created by a Japanese toy company, but they sold it to Hasbro in the United States. Boy, do they regret doing that, right? And the toy company of Hasbro took this transformer. What? You don't know what a transformer is, right? It's this robot that transforms into something else. It's a toy. But the transformer toy became just this huge seller. Back in the 80s, it started and it became a huge seller. And what was the appeal of this toy? The appeal was what's called dual functionality. Dual functionality toy, right? It appealed as a robot, and then it appealed to people when it transformed into whatever it transformed into. It changed into something else. Dual functionality. So they could sell it as a robot, and they could sell it as this other toy. And who did it appeal to? You would think toy. It appealed to a kid. Not only did it appeal to the kids, but all of a sudden, moms and dads and grandpas thought, that's pretty cool. And they jumped on the bandwagon. And many adults today raised their hand and said, I know that. I've still got one. Why? Because the impact of that toy, that transformer toy, has become part of the ecosystem of toys. You'll find it in many people's toy boxes or places at home, or collect, they're now collector items. They're so big. Some of you probably have those at home. They're collector items. Why? It just had that appeal. It's bigger than ever today. A part of the larger ecosystem of toys. It is ingrained in that. It continues to expand, captivating and attracting new people and sustaining interest for a long term. A toy. You would think that would be the church, really, right? You would think that would be the church. Continues to expand, it captivates, it attracts new people, sustains interest for the long term. Salvation is your first transformation. Go with me to Romans 10:13. You know the scripture says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be transformed, saved." That's just the beginning of the transformation in our lives. That is not the ending. That's just the beginning. The question is, do we have enough staying power? Do we have dual functionality? Do we have things that we invest into this life of ours that transformed us that we can continue on to do what? To transform others. Right? We're going to talk about that today. So let's just jump right in to the story of Jacob and Esau. Now, many of you know this story. It's a great story in the Old Testament, right? Genesis. Many chapters are devoted to this story. Brothers, twins, the Bible says. And let me give you some context to the story. So the twins were born, right? Esau was born first. Jacob was born second. As Esau is being born, Jacob is coming out and he's holding the heel of Esau. But they're twins. But Esau is older now. So he has inherited at that particular time the birthright, which was a huge thing. Double portion of the inheritance, the leader of the family. You know, here's the firstborn, right? Jacob is holding on, coming out. Esau was a skilled hunter, and his dad Isaac really loved him more. Jacob kind of stayed home, kind of like the mama's boy type guy. And Rebekah, that was her favorite. You could just see the dynamics in the house, right? One's a skillful hunter, one stays home making soup, the Bible says. Nothing wrong with that, right? But the dynamics in the home, the transformation that takes place in this home is something. There's a birthright sale. Esau comes in from the field. He's famished. He's tired. He's just whipped. You can see the picture. He's covered in dirt. He's been working all day. He's been out in the fields and going through the woods and hunting and doing all those things. He comes into the house. He is just exhausted. There's his little brother over the oven stirring some stew. Yeah, you just see it. Like, it's probably your house, right? Why aren't you out hunting with me? I want some of that. I am starved. You didn't go out with me, but at least you could give me some of that. So here's the conversation, right? This never happens in our homes, right? Never happens. So the conversation starts. I would love to have some of that stew. I am hungry. I'm exhausted. I'll give you some, but you got to give me something first. Give me your birthright, and I'll give you some stew, right? The birthright's a big deal. But this guy, he's just not thinking. He's thinking more with his physical than anything because he's so hungry. And there you see that stew. It's kind of like those of you that were in the fast here the first 3 weeks of January, right? Man. You fasted, but somebody just had to tempt you with something, right? They put that donut right there on a Sunday morning, right? Esau sells his birthright for some stew. He just didn't value it too much. So they go on with their lives. The birthright now belongs to Jacob. Then there's a blessing deception later. So they're getting older. Dad's getting really old, losing his eyesight, the Bible says, just paraphrasing what the scripture says, losing his eyesight, you can see it, you know, he's getting older. My dad's 89 years old. It's not his eyesight that's going, it's his hearing, kind of, right? But Isaac couldn't see there very well. So mom comes up with an idea. You knew it's the mom, right? Mom just comes up with an idea. Let's trick my husband to thinking that Jacob is Esau and let him bless him before he passes away. So, of course, you know the story. They dress up in the clothes and make him smell like, you know, Jacob's going to dress up in the, just like Esau. Eventually, the blessing, which is a big deal from dad on, falls upon the wrong guy, the second born. When it comes out and Esau realizes what had happened, he vows to kill Jacob. He's so mad. He sells his birthright. Now he lost his father's blessing before the father dies. So now you have two siblings that are kind of like one's after the other one to kill him. Not just in words, like, I'm going to kill you. It's, I'm going to kill you. And Jacob ducks out of town, takes off, leaves home, heads to his uncle's house, which is quite a distance away. He's out of there. He takes off. And as he's leaving town, he stops for the night, and he has a divine encounter in a dream. And Genesis 28:15 says what the encounter is, and it reads like this. What's more, I am with you. It should say, I am still with you. Because you've got some things going on back home that you're running from, but I'm going to stay with you. I will protect you wherever you go. I will then bring you back to this land, home. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. He's now inherited everything. Is God going to honor that? God's saying, listen, you just left town, your brother wants to kill you, and I'm going to personally stay with you. I understand that you may have not done some of the right things, but I'm going to hang with you. Boy, is this not some of us, if not all of us, right? I'm not going to look at what you just did and the things that you've been doing with your brother. I'm just going to hang with you. I love you. I believe you. I'm going to hang with you. So he leaves town, he goes, Jacob hangs out with his uncle. 23 years go by. He's gone from home. And you know every day he's thinking, is Esau ever going to show up and kill me? Now, he gets married to two women. He's allowed to do that back then, right? And he amasses a ton of wealth. But guess what? God comes a-knocking. There's reconciliation back home. You need to transform and have a heart of reconciliation. You got to go home. You got to go fix this mess. Did you not think you were going to? I told you 23 years earlier I was going to send you back home. Now you've got family and you've got wealth. Now you're going to go back home. Can you imagine the conversation? He heads back home. Why? Why? There's a transformation coming. He's heading back home. God's sending him back home. So he starts heading back home, thinking the whole time, am I going to survive? Or is my brother going to kill me? But God's sending me back home. I'm heading back home. And the night before God gets him there, he decides he wants to see what you're made of. God wants to see what Jacob is made of. The day before he arrives to meet his brother after 23 years, let's see what this guy's made of. Genesis 32:24, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. If you know the scripture, that man is God himself or an angel, but it's divine, it's supernatural. I don't know about you folks of how many have wrestled with God in the physical form, because that's what's going on here, they're going to start having a fight. Because Jacob needs some transformation going on in his life. Genesis 32:25 says, "And then when the man saw that he would not win the match," God is allowing Jacob to overpower him, to come out victorious. He decides to touch Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of the socket. Oh, does that hurt? If you know anything about strength, it's your core that has most of your strength, right? That's where most of your strength comes from. And so he touched the, you know, it says he touched. He didn't have to do anything else because it's a supernatural touch. And the hip is displaced, right? Now, with all human strength gone, with this situation going on, what do you think he does? I'm just heading back to my uncle's house. I'm out of here, right? No, he continues to fight. He's exhausted, but what does he do? He continues to fight, to hang on. And that's what we need to do, right? We need to continue to fight and hang on. In Genesis 32:26, he says, "Then the man said, let me go." So the fight continues. The wrestling continues throughout the night and into daybreak. They continue, for the dawn is now breaking. It's throughout the night. But Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I want your blessing. There's a transformation in my life, but it can't happen until you bless me. I'm going to fight. I'm going to scrape. I'm going to do, I don't have my hips out of the joint. I'm exhausted. I'm all beat up. I don't care. This has been going on for hours and hours, or you in our lives, days, months, years. I am not quitting. Now I want a blessing. I'm going to see my brother here in a few hours, and he may kill me. I need a blessing, I believe. I need blessed. And I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And God honors that. He honors perseverance. He honors transformation. In Genesis 32:20, he says, "Listen, your name will no longer be Jacob. I'm going to bless you." The man told him, "From now on, you will be called Israel. And now you know." And look at what it says here, folks. "Because you have fought with God and with men, and you have won." How could he defeat God? That's not what that means. It means you did not give up. I'm going to transform your life because you hung in there and you did what you had to do. And now I'm going to send you back to your brother. And let's just see what happens. "You have fought with God and you have won. I'm going to transform your life because of your diligence, your perseverance, your fighting, you're doing it, you're going to make it. I go personally before you. I'm going to blaze the pathway as you go meet Esau." But you're meeting Esau transformed. Your name's not even the same name. You're completely different. So he arrives, and if you know the scripture, it talks about Esau came out with all kinds of men. I think it says 400, and Jacob, before he even got there, he sends messengers ahead of him just to check out the lay of the land. Is this guy really as mad as I think? Is he going to kill me? And, you know, so here comes the confrontation. But Jacob is transformed, and unbeknownst to Jacob, Esau is transformed too. Now, what does he have? What the Bible says, they embraced. "Welcome home, my brother. I'm not after to kill you. We're both transformed. We both hung in there. God did a work in both of us." See, true transformation begins with an inward change, folks, and then the results in an outward impact. Jacob was impacted by the transformation in Esau. Esau was impacted by the transformation in Jacob, who's no longer Jacob, he's Israel. Change of the name. So how does personal transformation empower us to transform others? How does this personal transformation, Paul talks about this by saying you got to live sacrificially. We've used a couple of these scriptures, but I want to use them again and dive in a little bit deeper. Romans 12:1 says, "And dear brothers and sisters," right? I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. He's talking about being fully devoted to God every day. In fact, it talks about continuously is what the scripture means, and actively. I'm going to continue to be devoted to God, and I'm going to make it active, is what that means. Continuous and active. Are we doing that? If we're going to make an impact in 2025, are we going to do it continuously and be active about it? And Paul says, that's what I need. A living sacrifice. You just continue and be active. Transformation begins when we give God complete control of our lives. I want to talk to you for a second about what I saw the other night. Now, I know the person is here today, so I won't mention names. But I knew what I was preaching on, and I'm preparing my message today of transformation transforms people. And I come into our CR program on a Monday night. Pardon me, Monday night. Journey night, Wednesday night. I'm way off on days, right? I was here Monday night too. But I come in and I listen to a testimony, powerful testimony. And I heard a phrase, a quote. I won't say the name, but I heard a quote. Here's the quote. I never truly surrendered to God until a couple of months ago. I never truly surrendered. Boy, did my ears perk up. I never surrendered. I was living this, whatever this is, but I truly didn't do the living sacrifice. I wasn't active. I wasn't, whatever it may be. What a testimony. That phrase right there is a life-changing phrase. For two reasons. Because the person testified to it and was open and transparent about it. And then the living sacrifice will transform the life. Actively and continuously. And this person knows who they are, and I want to thank them. I'm not going to mention names, but what a powerful testimony that night. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you that I had the honor to hear it. Paul continues talking about this transformation. Romans 12:2, he says, listen, be transformed. We've used this before, but watch what happens. By the renewing of your mind, that by testing, wrestling, is what that means, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. What? Transformed. The Greek word is metamorpho, which is where you get the word metamorphosis, which means what? Complete change. That's what it means there. Complete change, active and continuous. I'm changing. I ain't going back. I'm changing. This is what we heard on Journey Night, and we hear on Testimony Night often. I'm going to do it. Fully surrender. It's a profound and complete change. It's a profound and complete transformation. Let me give you an example, just because you know. It's a caterpillar change. It's a caterpillar, right? So you see this beautiful caterpillar, but all of a sudden the next day, it's a butterfly, right? That's the kind of change he's talking about. And how do you get there, right? Think caterpillar, transformation. It's internal and it's radical. Change. Radical transformation starts in your mind. That's what Paul says, renewing of your mind. It's a radical transformation in your mind. That means you adopt a new way of thinking. You take your core beliefs and the things that you know, and you take those, and then you line them up with God's truth in the Word. That's what he's talking about. But I used to believe like this. Not anymore. I believe like this because God's, and then you start doing the overlap. And that's the renewing of the mind. You adopt a new way of thinking. It's different than the way you thought before. It's different. And then he talks about discerning God's will. That means transformation and the renewing of the mind enables you to now discern God's will. You hear all the time, Pastor, I don't know God's will. I just told you how to get it. Paul says this is what you do. You got to transform. You got to be active about it. You got to be continuous about it. You got to do so. You got to be living and active. You got to be sacrificing, fully devoted. And then you got to change the way you think. You start thinking differently. And once you start thinking differently, I can reveal my will to you because you're different, you're transformed, the metamorphosis has taken place. And then, as the potter takes the clay and starts to mold it, God can start to mold you and says, okay, I can send you over here, I can send you over here, you can transform that life over there, I can send you over here, I can bring you on journey night here, and I can send you out to that. I can use you to transform because why? You are transformed now. You're different. Now I can use you. You're not perfect. I'm still molding you on the potter's wheel, the Bible says, and I can transform you some more and get you a little more honed in. But I tell you what, I can use this. And that's exactly what he does, folks. What's this all mean? In the New Living Translation, it reads like this for Romans 12:2. Let me read a different translation. It'll bring it to life. Let God transform you into a new person by just changing the way you think. Boy, I tell you what, folks, I'm so glad that I think differently today. I think different. I'm not there yet, but I think different. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. I'm thinking different, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You're not transformed until you think different. Transformation, transform. What does that mean? It means it leads to impact. Matthew 5:14, right? You're the light of the world. You're transformed and you're going to go transform. Why? Because now you have transformation properties. You are different. You think different, you act different, you are different, and now you can go out and transform somebody else, right? That's what it means. Transformation has to be authentic and genuine. Authentic and genuine. A transformed life bears a lot of fruit. What kind of fruit? It's in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit, transformed fruit in your life. It is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. Wait, no, I don't want that part. I want them all, but I don't want the self-control part, right? Because I struggle with self-control. That's the one you need the most, right? I'm telling you, right? Me, sitting at the red light when it turns green. Boy, does that get under my nerves, right? I've testified. I had it again this week. I grabbed the watch. I watched the clock, and I said, Lord, how long? Self-control. Now it's 10 seconds. I know they're on their phone. I can see them in the mirror. Self-control, 15 seconds. I did, 20 seconds. Lord, I can't do it. I've told you this before. It really bothers me. I don't like people on their phones when they're driving, right? We're not supposed to be. The law says you don't do that. Self-control, Lord. I knew I was preaching on this. I knew that this is a transformation, and it's self-control. I held off, and guess what happened? 25 seconds into the green light, they went. But I didn't make the light. And I sat for another round. Has that ever happened to anybody? But guess what? I never beat the horn. I'm transformed. I've arrived, right? Let me give you some examples of some true transformation in the Word. Now, many of you will know these names. I'm using them for a purpose because they're very well known. Moses, he was an outlaw. He's an outlaw imposter, I call him, because, you know, they thought he was Hebrew. They thought he was Egyptian, pardon me, and he's really Hebrew. But he kills somebody. He ducks out of town, and God's still, you know, he's on his radar screen, and he's going to transform him, right? The transformation was he was sold into slavery. He's just got to be different. He grew up Egyptian. But he realized he shouldn't have been. He should have been in slavery like everybody else. And God called his name. Transform other people. I want you to lead those people held in captivity in Egypt. That's a transformation. What, me? I heard this story on Saturday morning. Pastor Mike was so eloquent about presenting it. What, me? You want me to go out? Well, I can't go back. Transformed and changed. Joseph, the favorite son, the transformation, sold into slavery by his brothers. He becomes Egypt's second in command. That's a transformation, folks. What's he do to transform others? He provides food during the great famine. He forgave his brothers for selling him into slavery. And then he was reunited with his family. What about the Samaritan woman we talked about a couple weeks ago? There's a transformation to transform others. Sinful past, she becomes a witness for Jesus. How'd she transform others? She led many in her village to believe in Jesus. Jesus knew things. You can't have a list like this, a short list, without Paul, right? Persecutor to preacher. Transformation, Christian persecutor to a great apostle. How did he transform others? He preached the gospel. He planted churches. Mentor Timothy wrote much of the New Testament. Boy, there's a transformation, folks, to transform others. What about Peter, a fearful fisherman, I call him, right? The fearful fisherman. I don't know Jesus. He denied Jesus, and he became a bold preacher. I don't know that guy. But then he preached and got 3,000 people saved on that first day. That's transformation. Transform to transform, right? What about Barnabas? I call him the converted encourager. Paul's partner, right? For a bit. Transformation from an unknown to a peacekeeper, peacemaker, mediator, and encourager. That's what I call him. Hung out with Paul as they went out to plant churches. He encouraged Paul. How did he transform others? He just supported and mentored Paul, helped him launch churches. There's a transformation. How do we transform others? We live transformed. We can't transform unless we're living transformed. People are drawn to authentic transformations. Authentic. Remember these sayings? Like, I remember when Pastor Brad was this. There's no way he could be preaching. I remember when he did this. Yeah, that was me. But I've had a transformation. How? Jesus transformed me. I'm different. It's metamorphosis. I'm changed. I'm different. And now we transform, right? Transformation. Transforming others for Christ is not about forcing change, but allowing God to work through us to influence and to inspire others. I don't know. I just want to inspire others, right? Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 14. He says, anyone who builds on the foundation may use a variety of materials. Gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. Got to use something, right? But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Church, listen. On judgment day, fire will reveal your transformation. It will reveal those that you transformed. It's going to come to light, he's saying, right? The fire will show if a person's work has any value. That is a huge statement, folks. Does my work have any value to heaven? Because guess what? That is the only thing that matters when judgment day shows up. Am I of value to you, Lord? If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. What's that mean? It means, is our transforming qualities, are they genuine, durable, and lasting? That's what that means. So sit here today and watch online. You ask yourself, am I durable, genuine, and long-lasting? If I'm going to help transform others, I've got to make sure I'm durable, long-lasting, and I got to make sure I'm genuine. Got to be genuine. What does that mean? It means that's the impact. That makes you impactful. Not only in your life, but transforming others, right? So that's what it means. So before we wrap up this series, and before we call it a day, and we say, I don't want to live on secondhand faith. I want to live impactful. I want to be genuine, durable, long-lasting. I want to do what God's called me to do. But to do that, we've got to make sure we are transformed. So I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, bow your eyes, close your eyes. I just got to ask the question before we move on. Is there anybody in the house today, or even if you're watching online, that you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. And maybe I'm living on this inherited faith or imitated faith. I don't think it's, I've not made it real. I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand right in your seat. You don't have to leave. I won't call you out by name, but you can raise your hand and say, I'm going to make the transformation today. For those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be transformed. The first day of the rest of your life, if that is you today, I want to pray over you corporately. If that is you, slip up your hand. I just want to pray. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for the hand in the back. Thank you for that other hand in the back. Is there anybody else? Another moment. If you're watching online, you can do exactly what we're doing here at the worship center. Raise your hand and be proud to say, I am transformed. Lord God, hear my name today. Is there anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I pray for those hands that were raised today. Lord God, they're saying, here I am, Lord. I want to be transformed. And the scripture teaches us all they have to do is raise that hand and be transformed in their hearts and be genuine. The Bible says that you have just written their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they have been transformed, adopted into a new kingdom. They're going to think different. Their mind's going to be renewed. It'll be a challenge at times, but Lord God, the Bible says you go before them personally to blaze the pathway that they need to follow. And Lord God, I ask for that blessing upon their lives today, Lord God. Father, I pray that they come down to the altar in a minute, sing praises to your name, that they show up on a Wednesday night and head to a class to be discipled, to learn more about this Jesus that they have just transformed their life for. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, before we leave today, your pastor is feeling so impressed that I just think we need to gather around the altar as we wrap up the secondhand faith series and come and stand around the holy ground, the altar of the local church. Raise our hands and say, I am transformed, and I will leave Cross Point Church today, and I will go transform and impact somebody else for Jesus. Stand with me and come to the altar and join your pastor as we sing.
Here as we wait, seek your face, come and make your throne upon us.
Show us your glory, and what
Jesus, you change everything. Less healed, hope found here now. Oh, Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall, fear it will bow here now. Oh, Jesus, you change everything. Lies healed, hope found here and now. Oh, Jesus, you change everything.
Everything. Jesus transforms, allowing us to go out today and transform somebody else. Why? Because Cross Point Church people live transformed. Give them praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, I pray and I thank you that you have transformed my life. I thank you, Lord God, that you have transformed the lives of Cross Point Church. Not only those here in the worship center, those watching online, so many. Lord God, thank you for the power of transformation. Lord God, I don't want to live on secondhand faith. I don't want to live on imitations, Lord. Inherited faith, Lord God, it was a blessing at the time. But Lord God, thank you. I have a personal, firsthand experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you transform me. Lord God, as we depart today, let us be zeroed in on finding people to impact and transform. We want to find people, Lord God, that have needed you just like we did. Lord God, I pray that you send those people in our path and you personally lead us to them. Personally. That we don't get discouraged, Lord. Make today an impactful day in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, let's rejoice that we have been transformed today. Hallelujah.
I will rejoice.